Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I don't like to sugarcoat things. I never do, but this was a bad week for the Big 12 Conference. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us covering the Big 12. I know right now, if you're watching the Week 2 reaction show and you're a fan of Iowa State, you're a fan of Baylor, you're a fan of BYU, you're like, hey, don't look at us. I'm not looking at you. You did your jobs. Although, you know, at least two of you tried to blow it, tried to screw it up. But that's neither here nor there. For the Big 12 Conference as a whole, this was a bad week two. And don't let anybody try to spin it any other way. All right? For the conference as a whole, it was not a good week. We'll call it straight. We're glad you're here. We're just hoping that you will like the video right now. Also, leave us that rating and review if you're on the podcast. And make sure you are subscribed if you're a Big 12 football fan or just a college football fan. We will cover this league better than anybody. So the Big 12 went 3-4 this weekend against Power 4 / independent competition. They lost Arizona State to Mississippi State, Kansas State to Army, Oklahoma State to Oregon, and then Kansas to Missouri. And they all hurt in their own ways. The wins, of course, against the Power Four. You had Baylor over SMU. That's an ACC win. You had Iowa State beating Iowa. That's a Big Ten win. And then you had BYU over Stanford. Another ACC win. But don't kid yourself, all right? It wasn't just the fact that the Big 12 went 3-4 in those key games. It's the fact that each of those four games were painful in their own ways. So let's dive into it here, all right? Let's start with Arizona State losing to Mississippi State. I said and wrote over the summer, and we talked about it right here on the show, that Arizona State-Mississippi State was the most important game for the Big 12 in the non-conference schedule. And it was for a very simple reason. Arizona State's expected to be a team that's going to compete atop the Big 12. Mississippi State is a team that is projected to finish at the bottom of the ACC, excuse me, the SEC. So that alone made that game incredibly important. And Arizona State went on the road and laid an egg. Sam Levitt laid an egg. Kenny Dillingham laid an egg. The defense laid a major egg. And you can look at the officiating all you want on that touchdown that put them up 17-0. Yeah, there was a chop block there that wasn't called, but it doesn't matter. This is a game that Arizona State was favored in by 6.5 points. They went on the road, and they got out-hustled. They were outmatched. They were down at the goal line with multiple opportunities to punch in a touchdown. They settled for a field goal. They couldn't get the push up front on a drive that was, what, 17 plays? And Mississippi State held up with a goal line stand to force a field goal. You can't blame the refs. You just can't do it. And Sam Levitt did not look like a guy who's ready for the NFL. Sam Levitt did not look like somebody who was in that situation ready to be a Heisman Trophy finalist. That's not who Sam Levitt looked like on Saturday night at Mississippi State. Yeah, it's a tough place to play, but let's be honest. That is not the cream of the crop in the SEC. It's not even close to the cream of the crop in the SEC. It's middle of the road at best. And Arizona State, especially the offense, did not look like it was anywhere close to being ready for that kind of environment. And that was a bad look for the Sun Devils. It was a bad look for the Big 12. if this is going to be one of the premier teams in the Big 12, well, they sure didn't look like it on Saturday night. And I got a lot of grief in the offseason for not putting Sam Leavitt in my top one or two of Big 12 quarterbacks going into the season. And I was getting roasted by Sun Devils fans left and right. Well, I got plenty wrong. My picks were 1-2 over the weekend against the spread, so I didn't have a great weekend. All right? I'm not saying I'm always right. I'm certainly far from it. But Sam Leavitt right now does not look like a top-tier quarterback in the Big 12. He was not accurate on Saturday. He was jittery in that pocket. His footwork was all over the place. He did not look comfortable. And I get that's a tough environment, man, but it doesn't matter. That was a brutal loss for the Big 12 as a whole, because now the national media has its talking point. The national media can go out there and say, yep, look at this. We got SEC bottom feeders beating Big 12 contenders. Now, maybe it doesn't turn out that way. Maybe Mississippi State's the shock of the nation, and maybe Arizona State's sitting there trying to become bowl eligible in November. It's possible. It's college football, and in this era with the transfer portal, we don't know what anything looks like anymore. But if you are a Big 12 fan, you could not afford to have this happen. If you were looking for the Big 12 to close the gap in the narrative between the SEC, the Big 10, the Big 12, and the ACC, you didn't get it on Saturday. We did not get it on Saturday. And that is a darn shame for this conference. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us covering the Big 12. Thank you for joining us. So that was a tough loss to Mississippi State on Saturday night, 24-20. Next up, we're going to talk about the losers because, well, I'm sorry, they all had a brutal weekend. They're the lead story here in the Big 12 right now. What do you do with Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State? What do you do? 69-3 loss to Oregon. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the pain. The pain if you are a Cowboys fan right now. The worst loss for the program in a quarter century. Worst loss under Mike Gundy. If this season goes the way that it looks like it may go, Gundy can't continue. This has to end. And two things can be true at once here. One, Oklahoma State football has been carried by Mike Gundy for decades, going back to his playing days, joining the staff, and then becoming the head coach and taking this program to levels it had never experienced before. But if he can't do the job anymore, then he can't do the job anymore. And you can't sit there and say, yeah, that 2011 season was amazing. Boy, we were a half yard away from the college football playoff in 21. We were in a Big 12 championship game a couple of years ago in 23. You just can't do that anymore. If it gets as ugly as it looks like it could end up getting in Stillwater, this is not a loss. This is a historic loss for Oklahoma State on Saturday. And that's why it's so painful. And, you know, you go down the road in I-35 and OU looks like it's going to be back in the mix as a college football playoff contender with a nasty defense under Brent Venables, having College game day, beating Michigan on Saturday night. I don't want to rub salt in the wound. Trust me, I'm a Big 12 guy through and through, and I love Gundy, and I love this program and what he's done for it over the years. But what happened on Saturday is inexcusable. It's embarrassing. Oklahoma State looked like an FCS team going to Eugene. They were small. They were undersized. They didn't have the speed, the athleticism, the just pure raw talent. And if you wanted an example of, if you're a Big Ten fan, why the Big Ten and the SEC are separating themselves, well, you can look and point to that game and say, there's my case in point. That's it right there. That's what you can do. And that's the scary part for Oklahoma State and the Big 12. I'm Pete Mundo. Make sure you're subscribed to Heartland College Sports right now, where we are always covering the Big 12 Conference. Appreciate you being here. That one for Gundy was just inexcusable. And, you know, Hoss Haney obviously got hurt at quarterback in week one against UT Martin. You bring in Zane Flores, and Zane Flores was not good, but boy, he didn't have any opportunities to really do anything. He just didn't. Now, did the Oklahoma State offense play it safe a couple of times when they shouldn't have? Sure, you're down 13-0. You know, it's like a fourth and four just over Oregon territory, and you punt it. I mean, that's a total loser move by the Cowboys. Your defense was stopping nobody, and Dan Lanning wanted to beat the you-know-what out of the Cowboys on Saturday after the war of words last week with Mike Gundy. That's what he wanted to do, and that's what he did. Going for two-point conversions, I mean, just stomping on the throat of the Cowboys, it was evident what Dan Lanning was trying to do. He was ticked. His guys wanted to send a message, and you heard him talk about that after the game. Dan Lanning's guys went out there, and they said, hey, you know, that's our dad. That's our coach. That's our family. You don't knock him. And while Gundy was trying to make a point about NIL, it's an irrelevant and inexcusable point. I mean, yeah, Oregon has a lot of NIL money. They've got a lot of resources, right? Yeah, okay. Well, guess what? Look at the Big 12. So does Texas Tech right now. They're spending a lot of money. Gundy going to cry about Texas Tech? So you can't just tell me, I mean, SMU out of the ACC. You have random programs right now. If they have the right donor class, they're spending a lot of money. It's the name of the game. Mike Gundy, instead of complaining about what other teams are doing, should be saying, where's my T. Boone Pickens? And if the donor class doesn't want to pony up, then you know what? They're going to have to pony up for a buyout and a new head coach at some point, because that's where this is headed. And it's not a good scene in Stillwater right now at all. All right, let's dive into one of the other losses that was painful, and that is Kansas State taking on Army on Saturday night. Army storms down the field on that final drive, and they end up taking the lead, total confidence, and winning the game over Army 24, over K-State 24-21. You know, Kansas State had the ball for 3 minutes and 1 second in that second half. The time of possession in the second half was 26:59 Army to 3:01 for K-State. Two possessions. Embarrassing. And, you know, last week in the preview show that we do, and that's why you got to be subscribed, in the preview show, I talked about how I liked Army in this game. It was a 17.5 point spread. But I stayed away from the game because I thought, you know, sometimes teams have these, like, come to Jesus moments, these moments where they just kind of wake up. And I thought that, if anything, having to come back against North Dakota last week might be that for Kansas State. But that's not what ended up happening. Instead, you saw a lot of the same from last week. You saw a team that did not look like, frankly, it was all that composed in this game. You saw a team that couldn't get the run game going. I mean, you're going up against Army. You know they're going to run the ball. It would behoove you to get your running game going, to just buy your defense some time on the sidelines. Instead, Kansas State had 18 carries for 74 yards. And Avery Johnson continues to not look like a quarterback that is progressing, that is taking that step to be a quarterback at the next level, to be an elite power four passer. Avery Johnson doesn't look like it. It's just not who he's shaping up to be right now. And the defense didn't get a ton of pressure either for Kansas State. I mean, there were multiple opportunities to get into that backfield, and they didn't do it. Army just crushed them for 237 yards on the ground. Now, I know it's Army. They rushed the ball 60, 70 times, but still, you know what's coming. And if you're Kansas State, you got to be able to stop it. You got bigger dudes, better athletes, more talents, and you're getting just, you're getting smacked around on your home field by Army. So Chris Klieman is now 1-2 for the first time in his career at Kansas State in terms of how he started the season. And I know, you know, it's a unique start to the season when you have a conference game to open things up in Ireland, but they easily, frankly, they should be 0-3. That's how bad it is. They should be 0-3 right now in Manhattan. So I'm looking at this game and I'm like, man, this is not the Kansas State team a lot of people expected. And there's a lot that needs to be fixed right now. It's not one side of the ball. It's not one thing. It's not one player. Still don't know what's going on with Dylan Edwards. You know, it's like, when's this thing going to click? When's it going to turn? And I don't know, because coming up on Friday, they've got a non-con game against Arizona on the road. And Arizona's looking pretty darn good. I know they haven't really played anybody, but Hawaii's okay. They blow out Weber State on Saturday, and now they're hosting Kansas State. That is going to be a fascinating game for the Wildcats to see if they can get on track. Pretty wild stuff.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, let's keep it going. The other loss in the Big 12 was Kansas. And the reason this one hurts for the Jayhawks is because they had a 15-point lead in the first quarter. The offense is clicking. The defense is scooping and scoring. Life is good. The Border War is back for the first time in 14 years. And then Kansas says, hold my beer. Let's screw this up. And that's exactly what happened. They screwed it up. They blew the game. And Jalen Daniels, frankly, didn't look like himself, didn't look all that comfortable passing the ball in the second half. And on top of that, there were a few drops as well that really hurt Kansas down the stretch of this game. And that came back to bite them. Now, credit to Missouri. They didn't give up. They're down early. They keep fighting back. And, you know, one of the things I thought turned this game against KU, it won't go down as one of those plays that gets remembered, but right before halftime, Missouri kicks a field goal to tie it at 21 going into the half. And at that point, they had scored, I guess it would have been 13 points. Now, let me see. They had a touchdown in the second quarter, and then they had two field goals. So, yeah, 13 points. At that point to, well, no, they had the safety as well. So make it 15 points. But going into halftime up 3 versus being tied mentally, that's a big deal. And it's not only the fact that Missouri had that field goal before halftime, it's the fact that they went 84 yards in 4 plays in 28 seconds. That's just a backbreaker for the Kansas defense. You know, you're like, okay, let's just get out of here. Let's get this quarter wrapped up. We'll go into halftime with the lead. We'll reset. We'll get ready for the second half. Instead, you blow a 15-point lead in one quarter, and you're basically back to square one to start the second half. And it's partially because of a 4-play, 84-yard drive that took all of, how many seconds did I say? 28? And Missouri kicks that field goal to tie the game. And it just feels like at that point, you're on the road, momentum has swung towards your opponent, you had a terrible second quarter, and from there, you're basically playing catch-up. Even though they take the lead in the third quarter with a long 11-play, 53-yard drive, What does Missouri do? They come back. They score a touchdown. And then fourth quarter comes around. You score a touchdown. You have a good drive, but the defense can't hold. And that was the story here, especially in that second half. The Kansas defense struggled to stop the run. Jamal Roberts and Ahmad Hardy ran all over them for 250 yards, and they got absolutely smoked in the process. And that's something that come Big 12 play, Kansas is going to have to do a much better job of figuring out how to slow down that rushing attack, because you're going to see it in the Big 12, right? So it's not just about what you see on the stat sheet. Like, you'll see a stat sheet that says, hey, KU actually looked okay on defense. Bunch of passes defended, a few sacks, tackles for loss. Yeah, but you know what? When push came to shove, KU did not get it done defensively. When they needed to in that second half, they could not get the stop on the ground, especially when it came to icing, you know, the win for Missouri. Jamal Roberts had a 60-plus yard touchdown there with, at the time, Missouri up by 4 points. They've got the ball, 2 minutes left, and KU's run defense, once again, is totally MIA. And that one for Kansas really stings. So each of these losses for the Big 12 hurt in their own ways. They set the league back when it comes to a perception perspective this season. And each of them you look at and you say, what if? And outside of the Oklahoma State game, which was just a disaster for its own reasons, the rest of them could have been wins. And that is what is even more painful coming out of this week, too. I'm Pete Mundo. It's great to have you here on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. If you are just joining us, please do make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. We've got you covered, everything Big 12. All right. It's early in the season. Now's the time to be here and making sure you're a part of the show. So the wins, let's talk about some of the key wins here for the Big 12 in week two. All right, let's start with Cy-Hawk. This game just gets better, doesn't it, every single year? I stayed away from it because I was like 3.5. I don't know. This is a field goal game either way, and that's what it turned into. Now, Iowa State slowed down in that second half, but they held on for the win. They've won two in a row against Iowa for the first time in over 10 years. They've won in Ames now for the first time in over 10 years. And if you're an Iowa State fan, you're pinching yourself and you're saying, hey, we're ahead of schedule. Now, maybe you expected this season to go the way it's gone thus far. But you guys know I expected Iowa State to take a step back. Not to, you know, go back to being 4-8 or something. I just thought they'd take a step back. It does not look like this team has taken a step back at all. In fact, I'm seeing a team that almost looks tougher in some ways than what you saw out of last year's team. Not just because they've got some of the horses at tight end, even though they lost the two studs at wide receiver. You got the horses like Brommer and Burkle at tight end. I love watching these guys block. And you know what? They showed themselves against a very stout Iowa defensive line in front seven in particular. All right? So that is something right there that you say to yourself, man, Iowa State rushing for 100 plus yards in this game without having a big one. No one rushed the ball for more than 11 yards. All right? No one did. So that in and of itself is one that you look at and you say to yourself, man, that is not all that bad of a showing when you figure no one rushed for more than 11 yards. You had 100 yards rushing against a really good run D in Iowa. And while there were moments there, you know, where you thought to yourself, are they going to hang on for this game? They do. They did. They win another Cy-Hawk. They've won 3 of 4. Matt Campbell, who just a few years ago we wondered, is he going to get over the proverbial hump? Is he going to get over it against Iowa? He's now won 3 of 4. He's in a great place. The defense under John Heacock is doing what the defense does under John Heacock. And while it was a slow second half and one of those second halves where you're just kind of methodically plodding along, it worked out exactly as you would have wanted it to work out if you're an Iowa State fan. All right, you took care of business on the ground. You hung in there. You played an Iowa-style football game is what you did. And you got yourself into a position where you kick a field goal, and you know if you can get it through, you're more than likely to seal this game and get this win. And that's what they did after being held scoreless in the second half until, what, we're talking about the two-minute mark? So congratulations, Iowa State, on another great win and an awesome 3-0 start to your season. Some of you are asking, of course, about West Virginia. I'll get to that, but I mean, that's a Group of Five loss, so I'm not going deep into a Group of Five loss just yet. But I will get there, all right? Next up, when it comes to solid wins, Baylor, double overtime against SMU. So Sawyer Robertson's the star of the show, all right? Come on late, score a couple of touchdowns, second half of the fourth quarter, awesome stuff for Baylor in this game and how they come back to win it. But, and while you like the second half defense better, man, that first half Baylor defense was atrocious. And that should be giving Dave Aranda nightmares, even though they got the win. I don't think Jennings missed a pass in that first half on Saturday. He was just fantastic. And then, of course, second half, a different story, and Baylor starts rolling, especially in the fourth quarter, which was outstanding. And then, of course, you know, it helps out. SMU misses a field goal in the second OT. Baylor comes down, and they win the game. But, man, that was not looking good early. I'm watching this game, and on that first touchdown for SMU, when it, like, goes through the hands of the Baylor defensive back, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is not how this is supposed to go. And then in the first quarter, Baylor has, you know, two turnovers on downs, and you're like, oh my goodness, it's 10-0. It looks like SMU is going to run away with this thing potentially. But, you know, second quarter was fireworks all over the place. Everybody was scoring touchdowns in the second quarter. You go to halftime, you're down three, and you're thinking, how are we going to slow these guys down? How are we going to do this? Well, it helps, you know, when you get a field goal miss, which happened to SMU on their first drive of the second half. Baylor then ties the game with a field goal of its own, and you feel like that momentum is starting to change. Come fourth quarter, two quick scores for SMU, a Baylor fumble, and you're like, here we go, game over. It was a roller coaster of emotions for Baylor in this game. It was just crazy. But you're down 14 in the fourth quarter. Your defense tightens up, stiffens up, whatever you want to call it, and then your offense takes it down the field. And they do it in methodical ways, right? You do it, especially that 10-play, 80-plus yard drive. That was a thing of beauty to watch for the Baylor Bears on Saturday. And that is one of those moments where if Dave Aranda was going to get himself off the hot seat and Sawyer Robertson was going to potentially, I know it's early, but throw his name into the ring as maybe a top quarterback in not just the Big 12, but in the country. That's the kind of drive you've got to have late. And it was a thing of beauty. And then, of course, you have the two teams basically, you know, trade possessions, and you find yourself in a spot where you go into overtime, and we know what happens from there on out. But that's a big win for Baylor. It's a huge win for the Big 12. If Baylor had dropped to 0-2, the questions around Dave Aranda would have been swirling. There's no doubt about it. And that's something that Aranda now avoids, at least for a week. Now, he gets it for a while. That's a good win, but he's got to figure out that defense in a big way. And then the other win I do want to touch on here is BYU. Now, Bear Bachmeyer did not look like the guy that he was in week one against Portland State. But we didn't expect that. What I will say about Bear Bachmeyer is that he may have the defense that he can just ride. He may have the running game led by LJ Martin that he can just ride. And he's going to be asked to do just enough. He's great down at the goal line, too, running the ball, the true freshman quarterback. But you got that defense of BYU's that holds Stanford to minus 18 rushing yards in the first half. First half, minus 18 rushing yards. 19 rushing yards for the game. You get LJ Martin with another 100-yard game. And you know what? I'm not saying you don't have to do a lot, but man, this Baylor, this BYU team is stingy, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And it was fun to watch. It was not fun if you're a Stanford fan. You had nothing going. But it was damn fun to watch if you're a BYU fan, knowing that this is the defense that you can bring in the Big 12 play. And even with a true freshman quarterback, you stay that stout, you can absolutely stay competitive in this league in 2025. So it wasn't the game that's going to get the most attention in the conference, but it's a game that, to me, sets the foundation for what could be a fascinating storyline, which is BYU and that defense with a true freshman quarterback possibly being one of the great stories in the Big 12 in 2025. So this is great, and I love what BYU did on Saturday, and I just can't wait to see how it plays out from here. It's going to be awesome. Now, the other games I want to touch on for a few minutes here. Yeah, West Virginia lost to Ohio 17-10. West Virginia was only a 3-point favorite. A lot of people said, how's that possible? Well, now we know. They went on the road. The quarterback play was subpar at best. The running game was not there after Jaheim White got injured early in the game. And Rich Rod knows he's got a project on his hands here. I mean, Ohio's a good group of five team. They played Rutgers tight a couple of weeks back. And then they go back home and they beat West Virginia. So good on them. I mean, I can't take anything away from this Ohio team. They looked the part. They played well. They were better up front. They rushed the ball well, better than West Virginia did. Their quarterback, Parker Navarro, even though he threw three picks, you know, this guy is a dual threat quarterback. And West Virginia simply couldn't stop him. And even the defense for Ohio was pretty darn good, with four sacks and seven tackles for loss. So there were missed opportunities. There's no doubt about it. There were missed opportunities in this game for West Virginia, right? It seemed like when Ohio gave them a chance, they could not convert it into points. And there were so many, just three and outs of a couple of yards, negative yardage. I mean, it was frankly a fairly ugly game to watch for Rich Rodriguez and the Mountaineers. But this is what a lot of us thought that they were going to be this year. A lot of us didn't think that they were going to be competitive atop the Big 12. And I don't believe they're going to be. And you saw that on full display on Saturday. Hey, if you're just hopping on the live show, or you're watching the replay, or you're on the podcast, make sure you're subscribed right now. All right? It does make a huge... It's the only thing we ask for you. We don't charge you for anything here on the show. We ask you to just subscribe, share it with a friend, if they're a Big 12 fan. And also, if you want to, join our forums at heartlandcollegesports.com to interact with other Big 12 fans. That's all we ask of you here, and we're glad that you're joining us, as always, as a part of the show. All right? So running down the list here for the other games in the Big 12 Conference, the other games you had were largely Big 12 versus Group of Five or FCS. Colorado-Delaware, Cincinnati beats Bowling Green, Texas Tech rolls Kent State, Utah over Cal Poly, Houston beats Rice, UCF smokes NCANT, and Arizona beats Weber State. A couple of storylines in those games to watch. Number one, Baron Morton played at quarterback for Texas Tech. Great sign. Not sure I would have done it, but you know what? He threw three touchdowns, and he wanted to probably be out there, and Tech wanted to see how he looked against lesser competition, knowing they could keep him upright, and that's exactly what they did before they play Oregon State next weekend. So if nothing else, it was a chance to not have him take 2 weeks off and go into the game against Oregon State a little rusty. So I get why they did it. And clearly they felt pretty good about his health. So there you go. Really not a lot of storylines in any of these games. But if you're a fan of, let's say, Utah, hey, you play Cal Poly, you blow them out, and you probably are ready for Devin Dampier Heisman campaign to get underway. It's early, all right? It's early. I can't get there just yet, but I understand why you're excited. I do. You have every right to be excited right now based on how this guy looks and what he's doing. But it's Cal Poly. I'm not going nuts here, okay? Go to Wyoming this weekend. That can be a tricky game. Ask some teams that have gone up there and been shocked early in the season from the Power Four level. And there you go. Meantime, Cincinnati bounces back from the Nebraska loss with a 14-point win over Bowling Green. And this is what Cincinnati does. They look good against lesser competition. Brendan Sorsby looks really good when he's not playing teams better than him. You watch Brendan Sorsby and you're like, man, this guy's a top quarterback in the Big 12. And he looked like that on Saturday, but it was Bowling Green. So it's like, I'm not sitting here doing cartwheels over this, because Cincinnati's always a team notoriously that looks really good when they're playing teams that they're better than talent-wise, and then doesn't look good when they're playing teams that they're not better than. It's just really that simple. So they've got Northwestern State this week, then they're playing Kansas on the road, and that will be the telltale sign to figure out what exactly this Cincinnati team is and what they can be going forward. Colorado beats Delaware 31-7, but for Colorado, the questions to me are still on that defense and what they're going to do up front. I don't know if they're ready defensively up front to compete atop the Big 12. That's where my questions remain. And the final score doesn't really do it justice, but you're watching this game and you're trying to get a sense for what exactly that side of the ball in particular can be, and you're just not really seeing it for the Big 12 or for Colorado as they get towards Big 12 play. So, you know, all in all, you take the win, you move on. It's what you expected if you're a Colorado fan. But if you're watching the ebb and flow of that game, you're probably wondering, can this side of the ball hang on as we get towards conference play? And that remains to be seen. Meantime, Houston beating Rice. I liked Houston to beat Rice and cover the spread. They did do that. That was my winner of the day in the Big 12. And once again, you have an offense that is just much different than what it was a year ago. Between Wigman and some of the receiving talent that he has there, and Dean Connors having a big game in the backfield with 132 rushing yards and two touchdowns. If you're a Houston fan, combined with the way the defense is remaining pretty stout, you've got to like the way this season could be shaping up quietly down in Houston. Don't do anything. Don't go nuts. But quietly, you could be liking how this season is shaping up if you are a Houston Cougars fan. So there's a lot to like there. Meantime, UCF rolling North Carolina A&T. Okay, North Carolina A&T. If you're a UCF fan after that Jacksonville State game, you got to be happy about that. You should be happy about that. It's North Carolina A&T. Taven Jackson should look good, and he looked pretty solid. Not just passing the ball, which was solid. I'm not going to go crazy here. Solid is the word I'm going to use. But you got a team that was hungry to just get a really convincing win. They did that largely on the ground with Ja'Cory Brown at quarterback, and then Jaden Nixon as well at running back. Those two guys had four touchdown runs combined. They didn't need to use Miles Montgomery a lot in this game, so no reason to waste him against North Carolina A&T. But UCF just needed a game to feel good about itself, and that's what they got. And Arizona, Arizona, you look at it and you say to yourself, a 48-3 win. Fafita looked great. I know they're playing the Wildcats of Weber State, but, you know, you sit there, you say to yourself, hey, it's what you got right now. But they're 2-0, and they host Kansas State on Friday night, and that game is wildly compelling for both of these teams for so many reasons. So we'll be previewing that one, of course, as the week rolls along. That's why you've got to be here and subscribed. We'll have full previews and picks as this week rolls along. We enter week 3 of the college football season. I'm Pete Mundo. It is great to have you here as always. Thanks for joining us on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Subscribe, leave us a rating and review on the podcast. We so appreciate you doing that, and we'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.